People claim they go into the Lord's house, but the Lord never comes in the house. Sure, I'm glad I go to church where the Lord is in the house. If you have a Bible with you this morning, in the book of Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 21, we'll stand and honor the reading of the Word of God found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter number 21. Verse number 33, Matthew 21 and verse 33. The last Sunday that I got to preach, I preached on the parable of the two sons. Jesus had just went and verse number 12 of Matthew 21, and he had cleansed the temple. How we need our temple cleansed. There's a lot of things in our spiritual temples that has nothing to do with God. And his desire is to have a clean temple. He got some people upset when he went contradictory to their program. The Pharisees, the holders of the law, became offended at him and asked him by what power and authority he was doing these things. He brought unto them the preaching of John the Baptist. And he said that John the Baptist had a baptism that the people, when he would baptize them, then they would confess their sins. Christ came, was baptized of John. So we certainly know that baptism does not wash away sin, for Christ had never known sin. But yet it was showing his kingdom. It was showing his ministry that he was about to provide. He gave them a parable and he said something that I loved in 32. He told them that the publicans and the harlots believed and they had seen it and had repented not afterward. In other words, he said there's harlots and publicans that's going in the kingdom before you do. Aren't you glad he didn't say instead of you, but before you? What does that tell us? That tells us that he's not willing that any should perish, but all would come to repentance. You must repent of your sins in order to go to heaven. You must believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now he says in verse 33, that same crowd, the Pharisees and Sadducees, had listened that the publicans and harlots was going into heaven that they was looking down on. And now it is as if they did not have enough. Jesus gives them a double dose. So he says this in verse 33, hear another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged round about it and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to a husbandman and went into a far country. When the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took his servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another. And again he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, and this is amazing to me, he sent unto them his son, saying, they will reverence my son. I want to stop right there. Time out. You should never address a preacher or a pastor as a reverend. Because God said holy and reverend is His name. the name above all names. You ought to address your preacher as pastor or brother. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, "This is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize on his inheritance." And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. And when the Lord thereof of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? I like preaching down on our level. There's a man said today, said, "I like the way Brother Randy taught this morning. It's down on my level. I understand that." I'd hate for you to leave here this morning and say, "Now, what'd that preacher really want to say?" Well, let me tell you some virtues I have. I most of the time say what I want to say. Not always what needs to be said, but I'm going to say it. And so Jesus said unto them, "Did you never read the Scriptures?" Folks wouldn't be near as ignorant if they'd read their Bible. "The stone which the builders rejected, the same's become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doings, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof." Boy, here's a good word. "And whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder." And when the chief priests and Pharisees had heard his parable, they perceived that he spake of them. I'm glad he got the point across. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. You may be seated this morning. Father, thank you for the good day. Thank you for the love of the saints of God. Thank you for a Bible we can still read in a country that still stands free. Lord, she's declining on a fast pace. And we beg and we pray to you that you would help our nation. You'd help our leaders. God, you'd touch our church. Touch me now as your preacher. Give me preaching, I pray today. There's none in me. I beg you to help me with it. Draw sinners to you. Open the eyes of the saints, and we'll be grateful in Christ's name. Amen. And amen. Well, first of all, notice there's a declaration. He said in verse 33, "I want you to hear another parable." Christ taught on our level. I'm all for education. I wished I had more. But I'm going to tell you something. You're never doing anybody any good until you can get this word down to their level. It's not about how eloquent we can sound. It's not about how pretty we can look. It's can we get the Word of God to people's level. The Bible said, now hear another parable. There's a declaration. He wants us to hear. The word is capital. A lot of focus, a lot of emphasis is upon hearing. Faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the Word of God. Some of you don't come back on Sunday night. I don't understand that. First of all, we need you here. Number two, your faith is increased when you hear. It does not say faith cometh by heard, but faith cometh by hearing the Word of God. Realize some of you cannot physically get here. But you that just lays out on Sunday night, you need to pick it up a notch. And get yourself in the house of God and get some help for your life. Now, there is a declaration. Hear another parable. You say, "Well, I've done heard one." He wants you to hear another. It's something about us that our heads are so thick. Isn't it amazing, as Brother Randy said, we have two ears and one mouth. We do a whole lot more talking than we do listening. Hear what the parable says. "There was a certain householder, and he planted a vineyard, And he hedged it round about, and he digged a wine press in it, and he built a tower. And watch this, watch the word. And he led it out to husband men and went into a far country. Not only is there a declaration, but Brother Adam, there I see there's a delegation. He led it out to other men, husband men. Not a husband man. But he entrusted his kingdom or his nation of Israel with men. Here in the book of Matthew, in this parable, God is making a delegation to husbandmen. Israel is God's pet. They are the apple of His eye. When America turns their back on Israel, we're headed for a big payday. They are God's chosen people. Abraham is the father of our faith. God selected Israel to be His people. And so there's a delegation. He came. Notice this. He did all the work. He sowed. He planted. He watered. He put the seeds in the ground. And He lended it out to husbandmen. I found out, not only in this parable, but also in ministry, there's a lot of people really forgot, really, who owns this thing. This is not our vineyard, it's God's vineyard. And men become little kings, so they have to have a little kingdom. But I sure am glad God's got a vineyard and He's allowed us to work in His vineyard. And can I tell you, it's a wonderful vineyard to be involved in. Now He led it out to husbandmen. There was a delegation. He said in Isaiah 5:4, God said, "What could have been done more to my vineyard than that I've done in it?" God did a lot for the nation of Israel. Then you'll notice not only there's a declaration and there's a delegation, but in verse 34 and 35, there is domination. The Bible said, "And when the time of the fruit drew near, He sent His servants to the husbandmen that they might receive the fruits of it. And the husbandmen took His servants and beat one and killed another and stoned another." Now there's a domination. What's going on here? Well, God was looking for fruit out of His vineyard, and He sent prophets to the nation of Israel in order that He may gather His fruit. The Pharisees and the Sadducees and the high priests of the priestly order of that day had taken over the vineyards of Israel and forgot about whose it was. Can I remind you, Liberty Baptist Church, it never matters how big this ministry gets or how pretty a building is. We better always remember, honey, it's God that gives the increase. It's the God of the Bible that has His protection about His people this morning. It's all about Him and His kingdom. He planted a vineyard and there was a domination. I go back and I think about what the prophet Zechariah said concerning that of Israel. He said in 2 Chronicles 24 and verse number 15, "Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died. He was 130 years old when he died. They buried him in the city of David among the kings because he had done good in Israel both toward God and toward his house. Now after the death of Jehoiada came the princes of Judah. They made obeisance to the king. Then the king hearkened unto them, and they left the house of the Lord God of their fathers. They served groves and idols, and wrath came upon Judah and Jerusalem for this their trespass. Yet he sent prophets to them to bring them again unto the Lord, and they testified against them, but they would not give ear. And the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, and stood above the people and said unto them, Thus saith God, Why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord, that ye cannot prosper? Because ye forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. And watch, they conspired against Him and stoned Him with stones at the commandment of the king in the court of the house of the Lord. What are you talking about? There was domination. There were prophets that were killed that God had sent to gather fruit out of His vineyard. But men had let it become their domain and forgot whose it belonged to. We think about Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He was cast down in a dungeon in a bad place. We see here, as Brother Hebert had taught unto us this week of the couples retreat, did you notice that they sent prophets to Judah? They turned their back on them in Judah, and God said, "You don't want me, fine, you can do it your way." And King Nebuchadnezzar came and got them from Babylon. Exactly what's going on in the United States of America this morning. Can I tell you what's coming? Has not been predestined. But what's coming is coming as a payday because of what God's people are doing. Now we find here domination. God sent great prophets to them to awake them, to make them aware. And I want to say this morning. Where would you be without a preacher? I'm not talking about a puppet. I'm not talking about a magician. I'm not talking about somebody's man. I'm talking about a God-sent, God-called, Holy Ghost-breathed-on preacher. Where would you be without a prophet of God in your life this morning? You say, "Well, preacher, you irritate me." Well, let me tell you, I don't apologize for the Word of God. Hey, if the hair's standing up wrong on the cat, change the direction of the cat. They would not hear the prophets of God. Boy, I noticed at a prayer breakfast this week, can't call his name, but he's a brain surgeon, I understand, a very educated man. He stood at the United States, and our president stood over to his right side. There he began to speak, and he said, "I'm going to tell you something that's not proper, and it's going to offend a lot of people, but," he said, "I love Jesus." And he said, "Our country was founded upon the freedom to worship God in spirit and in truth." And he said, "I'm all for education. We all need education." Let me tell you, honey, the guns is not our trouble. It's character issues in America. Mom and daddies need to get back to doing what the Bible said. Discipline their children, bringing them the house of God and teaching them right from wrong. Thank God, I'm glad we can live by the Bible this morning. Our president looked so humiliated and he didn't know what to do. Can I tell you, may God send again a prophet to this nation. I've heard Billy Graham. I've heard all the legal hide-killing boys take and scald him. But let me tell you, honey, God had a prophet for America. But let me ask you, where's the prophets today? You read your Bible. When judgment come on a nation, He pulled the prophets out of a nation. Thank God, I'm glad that I've heard some old men of God preach the old time way and tell the old time story that heaven is sweet and hell is hot. There's a payday coming someday. The Billy Sundays won thousands unto the Lord. The prophet Jeremiah's and the Zechariah's, the Haggai's and the Malachi's. And for 500 years when Malachi shut down, God didn't say a word, and out come John the Baptist. He wasn't wearing a tie. And he didn't have on pinpoint shoes. But he is carrying all he had, the fire of God in his heart. And he is trying to mind God the best that he could. Thank God that the Lord has allowed men in my life to tell me the old story straight, with love and the fire of God in their soul and in their heart. Let me tell you, visitors, hard preaching won't hurt you if love's behind it. We need a man of God to stand on the Word of God and say, "What thus saith the Word of God." He said, it's amazing to me. We've got Republicans cross and the Democrats cross. Neither party's going to get us out of the mess that we're in. It's going to take the God of this Bible to fix what's going on in our country this morning. There was domination. Verse 36, there was a duplication. Again, he sent other servants more than the first. They done unto them likewise. God trying to open the eyes of the religious leaders. God had parted the Red Sea. God had rained quail out of heaven. God had produced manna for 6 days. And on the sixth day, they were to gather double. And on the seventh day, they was to worship God. And everybody in the tent knew about it. There was duplication. Only a sovereign God full of mercy would deal with us twice. He sent unto them again. I love what the book of Hebrews said. He said in Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 35, the great hallmark of faith chapter. He said this. He said, women received their dead raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others had a trial of cruel mockings and scourgings. Yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonments. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder. They were tempted. They were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented. And you want to lay out because you feel a little bad. They'd stand for the God of the Bible. They knew they'd get a better resurrection. It's going to cost you something to get something for glory. Nothing's free. You better wake up and realize, honey, if it's too good to be true, then most of the time it is. It costs the Lord Jesus something to get you, and it's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you some persecution and some suffering. It's going to cost you and me some discomfort and some ridicule. If you don't want ridicule, I tell you what you do. Don't say nothing. Don't do nothing. And don't be nothing. Duplication. Verse 37, I want to cry here. There's a demonstration. He said, I'm going to tell you, I love these people so much. I'm sending the best thing I got. I've done sent two waves of prophets in and you hadn't heard them yet. You've killed them and stoned them. But surely, Your Reverence, my son, surely you'll see how much I care about you when I send you, my son. I could see those religious Pharisees stand at attention. Go to thinking about how wicked and how ugly these husbandmen had been to the landowner. And by the way, the Bible said he went into a far country, but let me tell you, he can see a long way off. And aren't you glad we got a God that can hear a long way off? And so here we see a demonstration. He sent his son. Can I tell you 2,000... Can I tell you, I don't understand it. There's a lot of things that come up in your lives and my life that I don't have an answer for, and I don't even have to apologize because there's a verse there that says, but we know. But for the life of me, I don't understand the love of God to this magnitude that He would send His Son for the likes of me. There is a demonstration in verse 37, but last of all, you better get that, honey, because he ain't got nothing else he can do. Last of all, he sent his son and said, they will reverence my son. But when the husbandmen saw the son, nothing changed. They said, here's the heir. Come, let us kill him. Let us seize his inheritance. They caught him, cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. Can I tell you, they did not crucify him in Jerusalem, but they took him on a hill far away. And they put him on a cross and they slew him. Then the Bible said he was a lamb slain before the shearers. There's demonstration. Mark's Gospel 12 said it was his beloved son. Church, if I could ever, I wish to God, Brother Randall, I could go back nearly 25 years ago at my first church that God allowed me to preach at and realize that you can't drive sheep, you got to lead sheep. And it's not about you falling in love with me, it's about you falling in love with Him. Because if you'll fall in love with Him, He'll get your eyes off me and you'll obey Him. His son. Brother David, he thinks a lot of his son. Boys, he thinks a lot of his son. Little Parker there this morning, I ought to tore him up. But I didn't. My love is so great. When he put his little head on my shoulder, my Lord and glory, I wanted to lay out the building, Brother Randy. Even though he didn't go to Sunday school, I just wanted to hold him. Because I love him. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son for the likes of you. And I don't understand that. But I just know he did that. You said, how you know it's real? Because I met him one day. And he moved in my heart and he ain't got out since the day he moved in. I don't go where I used to go and do what I used to do. Because the God of heaven saved me. Demonstration. How much more could he demonstrate his love than to send his son for you? You say, how could a holy God send somebody to hell? He don't. You put your own self in hell. You make a decision. You have a choice. You have a conscience. You have a will. The Bible says He's given every man the measure of faith. The Bible says we're saved by grace through faith. If you want to be saved, you can be saved. Last of all, He did all He could do. Glad He sent him. Because this takes me to my next point. Not only do we find this morning a demonstration, but look in 41 and 43 what He done, we find a new dispensation. They say to Him, He will miserably destroy those wicked men and will let out His vineyard to other husbandmen, which shall render Him the fruits of their season. We said in verse 40, when the Lord thereof, therefore, the vineyard cometh, what will He do unto those husbandmen? Notice this, not if He comes, but when He comes. Jesus said to them, didn't you never read the Scriptures? The stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it's marvelous in our eyes. Therefore say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you, Israel, and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. Who's that? That's the nation of the Gentiles. The church. They couldn't see the church, but God's always had a church on His mind. There's the dispensation. We are the dispensation of grace. They were under the dispensation of law, but yet everybody that goes to heaven goes there by grace. Even though the prophets preached the law, they were saved by grace. You hear me this morning? They were looking forward to a cross. We're looking back to a cross. So let me tell you, honey, it's not like the Roman Catholic Church. He's not tied on a cross, hon. That cross is empty, thank God. I'm glad that tomb is empty. We're looking back to an empty cross. That lets me know it's a filled throne, and I'm glad He's on the right-hand side of the Father this morning. dispensation. You're in the last dispensation. Me and you are in the church age. He said, y'all don't want it? I'm going to hand it to another nation, the Gentile nation. Aren't you glad he called Apostle Paul and turned to the Gentiles? You better thank God today when you pray, God, thank you for picking us up as Gentile dogs. A new dispensation. Preacher, when's the Lord coming? When this dispensation's over, the church, he's coming back. Now we see this dispensation. Now, I'm going to close with this. There's a desperation. I want you to look what he done. The Bible said, verse 44, there's a whosoever shall, I love this, shall fall on this stone shall be broken. He's talking about the Lord Jesus. He said, whosoever shall fall on this shall be broken. Can I tell you this? That a broken man can be fixed. I like this Bible word, whosoever. Don't never let no man tell you that's not in your Bible, young preachers. That's a Bible word, whosoever will, let them come. I'm glad we're their dispensation of whosoever this morning. Whosoever would fall upon Christ shall be broken, but aren't you glad that he can fix broken things? There is a desperation, but lastly, there's a devastation. And that's where people in America find it hard to believe that this will happen. Devastation. The Bible said, whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. There's desperation, but here's devastation. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That's the unrepentant. Miss Sherry, if you and Brother David come this morning. Boy, I love liberty preaching in the house of God. You see here this morning, you may be in desperation. I can tell you the best place I know for you to fall is upon Christ, the chief cornerstone. Aren't you glad, Christians, we've got a place that we can fall when we're broken? He said, if you fall on this stone, you can be broken. Can I remind you again, you must repent of your sins. You must be sorry of what you are and who you are. And realize he's the only one that can give you mercy to get you to heaven. It's not a Baptist church. It's not a working and a doing good. It's not being baptized. And I believe in all of them things, but it don't get you to heaven. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's what he said. And no man comes to the Father except by him. But there's devastation. He said, there's coming a time when every knee shall bow, every tongue shall